hope you were blessed by our study of worship. But put that one away. We move on. When you think about God's Word, you know it's divided into two great pieces, Old Testament, New Testament. Did you know that the Old Testament itself is divided into three main sections? Jesus, in Luke 24, 44, mentioned the fact that all the things about him are mentioned in the Law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. That was Jesus talking. Because our focus is to be upon him. Now, if God says something once, it's important, right? What if he says it again? What if he said it more than two times? Well, in each of those three major divisions, you find a beautiful verbal formula. God is a genius. He really is. He's a super genius. You take all the geniuses in this world, and they're a bunch of bozos and idiots compared to God. He can say in just a few words with tremendous economy, he knows just the right word to say just the right time, in just the right way, to just the right folks. Now, there is an expression. We can see our great God high and lifted up, and each one, as I said, of those three divisions, the first is found in the Law of Moses. So be turning to Exodus chapter 15. And then the last is found in Isaiah, the prince of the prophets. But then we're going to take for a text, if you will, smack dab in the middle of your Bible is the book of the Psalms. They all three have three special S's about the Lord. And you've seen this as you're reading through the scriptures. I was talking with Brother Royce Smith this week. He's looking forward to the conference. And I told you I celebrated 52 years in the ministry last week. He celebrates 62 years in the ministry. I think he started when he was 3. No, he was 18, 19, whatever. And still preaching, still studying, still attempting to break the bread of life. Let's go back, as I said, first of all, to Exodus chapter 15. This is after the Hebrews have come out of Egypt. They've come to the Red Sea, and God has destroyed the chariots and the horsemen of what was then the greatest nation on the face of the earth. The Egyptians were bearing down on them. God opened the way and they went through the Red Sea. And when those Egyptians tried to do the same thing, God didn't get them at the border. He waited until they got right out in the middle. Basically, he said, miracle's over. And wham. That's recorded in chapter 14. Now chapter 15, you know what they did? They sang. They had something to sing about. They had someone to sing to. And this is part of what they said in their song. Exodus 15, look at. Did I lose the verse? Verse 2. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. Talk about a wraparound God. He's my strength. He's my song. He's my salvation. As I said, if it was only once in the scripture, we'd say, must be important. God wouldn't have put it in there. Like we say, that's some good scripture. It's all good, isn't it?
Amen.
Now let's go to the Prince of Prophets, Isaiah chapter 12. Were we in the second verse of Exodus 15? I think we were. Isaiah 12, look again at the second verse. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah, you rarely will see the word Jehovah spelled out in English letters, but it's right here in all caps. You can't miss it. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. But when Jesus talked about the three divisions, he talked about the law and the prophets and the psalms. So that's why I take for my text Psalm 118, verse number 14. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. You're like, preacher, you just read that. Yeah, but it was in other places. It is so true. God put it as a memorial to our personal relationship to Him. God is not some concept, not some precept, not some idea, not some principle or some mathematical formula. He is a person who knows His people and cares for His people. And we have a personal relationship with Him. If you back up just a little bit to Psalm 40, this, of course, echoes some of the same things we're rejoicing in. Psalm 40, we'll look at the first five verses. Pardon me. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. God hears the prayers, the cries, the concerns. You go to the doctor and he says, and you go, uh-oh, what does that mean? Or somebody else calls you up and says, I got some bad news. Oh, what is it? Or you get something in the mail and, oh, what could it be? The Lord, the one who is there, He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. If this sounds like a song we have heard sung, that's good you're paying attention. He brought me out of the miry clay, the song says, and set my feet upon a rock. He set my feet on a rock to stay and establish my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth. He put a song in my soul today. A song of love. Hallelujah. Even praise unto our God. See, when you're fleshly, you think of, say about, I got some stuff. Look at me. Woo-hoo-hoo, I'm somebody. But when you're spiritually motivated, you say, praise be God. Look at what God has done. When Moses and the Israelites were singing in Exodus 15, they said, look what we did to the Egyptians. No. It's like, look what God has done. The preacher that draws attention to himself is not doing his job. The preacher says, folks, look to the Lord. Let's rejoice in Christ Jesus. Let's put no confidence in the flesh. He has put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed be the man that maketh the Lord his trust. You know what, folks? Our trust is supposed to be in the Lord. We looked at polls. We looked at the stock exchange. We listened to the news. We listened to gossip. We hear all kinds of stuff, and our hearts fail us for fear. We're afraid of this. We're afraid of that. We're afraid of anything and everything. But our fear should be that we displease God, that we not honor Him. Respect is not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If you tried to count them up, you'd run out. You'd fall asleep. The person who wrote that song, count your blessings, name them one by one. I don't think there are enough numbers. I don't think we can focus upon each and every one. So we ought to be so thoughtful about our great God. What does it say? Easy to remember. That's another thing the Lord does. He gives us things that they're, you ever heard the word earworm? Something that'll get in you and get your attention and keeps coming back. I can remember little jingles. I can remember little statements that when I was just a little kid, I don't even know why I remember his middle name, but there was a guy named John Cameron Sweezy, and he used to do commercials for the Timex watch people. And some of you might remember, he said, "Keep takes a licking, keeps on ticking." He couldn't be John Sweezy. I remember his middle name, John Cameron Sweezy. I have a hard time remembering some people's first names or last names. But I remember John Cameron Sweezy, because it gets you. It holds you. And I'm a product of the 60s. And I think it was just this week, I was talking with somebody, and I just couldn't help but think, same bat time, same bat channel. Once it's in there, it's in for good, isn't it? That's the way the scripture needs to be with us. That's the way the things of God ought to be with us. A lot of scripture in the psalm I want to share with you as we look this morning. Go to Psalm 27. For the first S is, the Lord is our strength. Oh, we don't have a wimpy God. We don't have a 98-pound weakling God. We have a strong God. Makes Charles Atlas look like a little puff, a little nothing. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Who I'm afraid of? They start talking about nations. Who I'm afraid of? They talk about something else, some concern, something that's got me with that deer in the headlights look. I want you to know, when you know that God is on the throne, you'll be like the psalmist says, I'm not worried about what men are going to say and think about me, because I'm not going to stand in judgment before them. I will stand before the Lord Christ. Yes. I want Him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Paul tells Timothy, don't be like those people who are tickling the ears. Congregation. I know what it is to sit in a pew and hear the preacher say, I have to answer to God. And I thought many times, yes, he does, but you do too. We all have to answer to the Lord for our thoughts, for what we do and what we don't do, for why we do it and how we do it. Because God knows all of that. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, if there's anybody that should be cognizant of the strength of his great God, it was David. You remember David? He was probably shorter than Landry. Probably not much older than Evan. And he wasn't much in the eyes of his big brothers. He probably wasn't much in the eyes of those seasoned Hebrew soldiers. You see, he wasn't in Saul's army. Big brothers were in the army. Saul was home. David was home. And Dad said, I know your brothers like cheese. Take up some cheese. So he brought a care package from home. When he shows up, after a while, he hears the thundering voice of Goliath, who comes up and he dares them to send their champion. And he basically said, what's the matter, you Hebrews? You chicken? And there were none to volunteer. And David says, is there not a cause? What's wrong? Won't somebody stand in the courage of the Lord? I mean, we have a heritage of people like Gideon and Joshua. And now, some of these folk are going to just scare us down, and we're just going to whimper and cower and wish they'd go away. What's wrong here? Of course, one of those big brothers said, who's watching those few sheep when you came to bring us some sheep? David, when he was asked, kid, you really want to go against Goliath? Listen, God is the one who was there for me. One day I was out watching those sheep, and he didn't say, little rabbit came out. And I said, shoot, Mr. Rabbit. No! A lion came out! And David didn't say, he killed that lion. Somebody said, well, that was a dumb move, David. You could have gotten killed. The Lord is his strength. And another time, another creature came out of I'm having one of those moments. I think it was a bear over there. But he killed that thing too. And he said, if God gave me the power to defeat those creatures, Goliath shouldn't be a problem. And so he knew that when he was in a tight, God was there fighting his battles for him. The Lord is my strength. And we see God exalted, don't we, as we read from that 40th Psalm already. Sometimes we think, how are we going to pull this thing off? What can we say? What can we do? Where can we go? Who can we enlist? We want to think about how we can solve the problem. Well, borrow a line from Mr. Moses when he led the Hebrews. Here come those Egyptians rolling in their chariots toward them. And he didn't say, folks, you're on your own. No! He held out his staff and he said, stand still. Huh? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We get to thinking, how are we going to pull this off? How are we going to put it together? How are we going to solve this problem? Sometimes we just have to wait on the Lord. As we read already, I waited patiently on the Lord. We want the answer and we want it now. We want instant relief. We don't have to want to wait around. We want the answers. We want the solutions. We want satisfaction. And we want it now. That's human nature. That the Lord did for David what David could not do for himself. You want to think about that next time somebody says, well, you know, God helps those who help themselves. And somebody says, the Bible says. No, the Bible doesn't say that. God gets blamed for a lot of foolishness that people like to say. No, the Lord is the strength of his people. The Lord is my strength, the psalmist said. And some people say, I'd like to have power. You know, I'd like to have a little lamp I can rub and a genie come out, fight my battle. I'd like to be able to get on the phone or get on my computer and get in touch with somebody. I'd love to have all kinds of power behind me. So that appeals to a lot of people. Yeah, if I get in a tight, God can be my strength. God can get me out of this. And that's true. Let's not stop there. He didn't. For secondly, he says, the Lord is my song. We read that. But let's look again in the 40th. He hath put a new song in my mouth. There are an awful lot of songs out there. You might like the tune. That's, I like that. That's good. That means something to me. But you know what's even more important than the tune? If the words glorify God.
That's right.
Amen. Years ago, a movie came out. The movie's so popular, they made a TV show. It was on this TV for more years than the war depicted and continued. It's about the Korean War. It's called MASH. Every once in a while, there was a group of little kids came. They were going to sing in some kind of competition. And they said, singing this day will be such and such a choir, and they'll be singing the theme from MASH. Oh, I've heard of MASH. Yeah, everybody watches that. Yeah, a lot of laughs. Yeah. But do you know what the title of that song is? What a pleasant, what a God-honoring expression. What an encouragement. No. It's called Suicide is Painless. Sometimes we catch ourselves humming along, whistling a tune, and the tune is just the tool to get the wrong words, the wrong imagery. Now, if you have a tune that you care about, and it's associated with words that honor God, fantastic. Marcia knows a man that I know. His name is Anthony. And Anthony, there's a fellow that can really play just about anything on the piano. And he said, what do you want to hear? And I said, all me. You might not know what all me is. That's the name of the tune that Newton's most famous poem set to. We call it Amazing Grace. And I love to hear that. I love to hear that song. By the way, we have a ladies' choir at the Second Amazing Grace. I heard it this week. God bless you, ladies. But it's not because of the tune. You might have some sentimental attachment to a tune, but the tune is only secondary at best. The message. You know, the Lord didn't say, in the beginning was the picture. In the beginning was the Word. The Word became flesh. We want to get the Word. We want to display the Word. We have the Word written down. I've got it right in front of me, and I hope you've got it in front of you. This is what we need to read. This is what we need to meditate in. This is what God has put in black and white to guide us. You have to go someplace. We've got it. If you don't have one, see me after church, I'll give you one. Because God's people need the Word, not just in a book, in their mind, in their heart, in their life, on their tongue. In fact, in the 5th of Ephesians, Paul says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody unto the Lord. God never said you have to have a voice like Pavarotti. Marcia's dad used to say, you've heard of Sinatra. Well, when I say I'm not so hot, but he would sing. And that's great. The Lord's not going to say, oh, stop, I don't want you. You're off tune there. You're not singing it right. God's not the critic that some people are. God says, make a joyful noise. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is our song as well. When they got up to sing that, they hadn't been rehearsing that tune for weeks or months along. That's not something they had for a long, long time. It says in the beginning of the 15th of Exodus, they sang a new song. They had a song to sing, not a whole lot of time to rehearse it. But once they sang it, it was sung to the glory of God, as we should sing to the glory of God. Because the Lord is not only our strength, He is our song. He's who we sing to. He's who we sing about. His mighty works. His gentle and persevering care for us. We ought to sing about that. You know, people sing about a lot of stupid stuff, don't they? That was a group in my youth. One of their hit songs was Boris the Spider. Really? You write a song about a spider? Dumb stuff gets sung about. You know, there's your chewing gum lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight. How's that going to glorify God? I don't think so. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my song. It tells us in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9 that there were those who likewise sung a new song. Herein the song, which was the hymnal of the early church. They didn't have Gadsby's hymn in the New Testament church. They didn't have Heavenly Highway hymn. Ain't it a shame? But they had the Psalms. In Psalm 33 and verse 3, sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice. But then one of the songs we sang, I never heard that before. It's a new song for me. So I don't know that song. Guess what? There are a lot of good songs. And I don't know. There probably some Brother Dan doesn't know. There probably some Marcia doesn't know.
That's right.
But if it honors the Lord, that's the important thing.
Amen.
I like that beat. That makes me think of it. You see, advertisers know that. If they can get a tune in your head, they'll get you. They'll even take an existing song and they'll say, we'll buy that song and we'll put our words to it. So people will be singing that tune and they'll think about our product, our services. Because it's not an accident that they call it programming, folks. Sometimes people have been programmed. So this is a new song. This is a song of praise to our great God. I told you we'd be in the Psalms. Go to Psalm 92. The first two verses of Psalm 92. I have a friend who likes to say when he hears something, he likes, that's a good thing. Well, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. You know what God did to you this morning? You might not realize it, but he showed his loving kindness to you. You say, how do you know? You got up, didn't you?
Amen.
You didn't have convulsion. You didn't have upset. You know, if you were a worrywart, thought about all things that could happen, you realize God spared you an awful lot of stuff and an awful lot of guff. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. When you get up, first thing we ought to do is say, thank you, Lord, for giving me this day. Because none of us is guaranteed. The date tomorrow will be the 26th of July. You know how many of us are guaranteed July 26, 2021? This many. So when we do, assuming we do, thank the Lord for his loving kindness. And what about at night? By faithfulness every night. God has been faithful to me. Have I been faithful to God? Maybe not. Should I? Could I? I know I should. Satisfied I could. But would I? Can we say that at the end of the day? That I got up in the morning and I thank God for his loving kindness. And when I lay my head down on my pillow, I'm going to thank him for his faithfulness to me. It's a new song. It's a song of praise to our great God. And it's a song that teaches others. One reason why it would be a good thing for us to sing out loud is because it can be contagious. It can be a good thing. Now, people spend a lot of time doing things to see it spread. They'll say this, they'll do that. But good things have a way of spreading too. Look at me, please. The last two verses of Psalm 35. This is God's word. This speaks to God's people. And a few times I've been in places and the song leader will, all right, buddy, let's turn and sing this song. And I'll sing. And believe it or not, I'm not too shy when it comes to singing. At one time, I was sitting right behind this little fella. And I'm just singing away. And he turns around and looks at me. He gives me a dirty look. I just smiled and just kept on singing. And he, you know, to his mommy, I just kept singing. She was singing too. And so he turned around again. He went, and he said, oh, I don't want to offend that little kid. No! I have to answer to the Lord. You do too? Yes. Let's read verses 27 and 28 here of Psalm 35. Let them shout for joy. That implies you got a smile on your face. And be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Wow. The Lord is my strength. That gives me confidence. The Lord is my song. Boy, it gives me some spring in my step. It gives me an opportunity to sing. That's great. But the best is saved for last. He's my strength. He's my song. He is my salvation. Psalm 27. I love this first verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And we read it also from that 40th Psalm. This speaks of two things to me. Of our blessedness. We are blessed to be the people of God. We sometimes look at the heathen, look what they've got. Look how they are regarded. Look at this, look at that. But no, we have a God who meets our needs and gives us joy, gives us contentment. Paul told Timothy, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. He didn't say, by the way, if you don't have the latest version of Windows, gripe to God, because he's holding out on you. Now, no matter what it might be, God meets our needs, and then some. Sometimes we're so worried about what we don't have and we want to keep up with the Joneses, but ours is a blessed way. That means you're not afraid of men. The 29th of Proverbs says, the fear of man brings a snare. God told Jeremiah, be not afraid of their faces. I sort of think when Noah was preaching, he probably had one-sized congregation at one point in his ministry. Sooner or later, though, there was a decline. If you check the chronologies, I could be wrong, but the way I figured it up, Lamech dies just a few years before. And then the same year the flood came, there was the death of a man named Methuselah. You know how long Methuselah lived? 969 years. And maybe this is preacher's poetic license, I don't know, but something tells me that Noah could have been just preaching the funeral of Methuselah, and when the last amen was said, beep, here comes first drop of water. And of all the hundreds, thousands, there might have been a million or more people on the earth then, but the rain came. And along with those animals and supplies, there were eight folks. Noah was, but we heard Brother Sean talked about our motivation. It says in Hebrews 11:7 that Noah moved with fear. He obeyed God for the building of that ark. And he and his seven family members survived. And everyone else drowned. If they weren't destroyed, some of them, but the flood took them all away. They were gone. God was truly his salvation. It also speaks of the Lord's blessedness to us. His works toward us, you just can't count them up. I like to quote Psalm 68:19, blessed is the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. God's got us covered. He's not going to leave us in a lurch, so to speak. And his thoughts toward us are so good. The 139th Psalm talks about that. And I want to turn you to a book that doesn't get a whole lot of reading in churches. Not because it's unimportant, but it's short and kind of gets lost among the so-called minor prophets. It's a little book of Nahum. Ever been to Nahum? Hopefully, if you've read through the Bible, you did more than just see it in passing. You know, we talked about Jonah this week with the kiddos. Four little chapters, but they packed quite a punch. And right after Jonah comes Micah, and then comes the book of Nahum. So if you look at Nahum chapter 1, look at verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He talked about him being strong. And he knoweth them that trust in him. The Lord is my strength, the Lord is my song. The Lord is my salvation. Perhaps you are one who says, you know, that's pretty powerful, yeah. And yeah, I like to sing songs about the Lord. But the Lord is not just one who is there at a distance. The popular song a few years ago sang about what God did from a distance. A lot of people think God's someplace far, far away. doesn't really get too involved, doesn't really care too much about what goes on with us. The psalmist says, the Lord, he's my strength, my song, and he's become my salvation. Men need salvation. Oh, they need to have some assurance. Oh, they need to have something to sing about. But that would be empty without knowing the Lord in a personal way. There may be people praying for you. There may be people who care, people who witness, and people who would share what God has said in His Word. You know, the main thing is not the wheels you drive. The main thing is not the house you live in. The main thing is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I meet a lot of people these days who says, well, you know, I haven't really done much about it, but me and the Lord, you know, we have this understanding. Is He your salvation? Is your hope in Him? Is He your peace, your strength, your comfort? Is He your all in all? And sometimes people will say, yeah, great. Then I would show you another passage of Scripture, and it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Yes.
Nothing thrills us more. You know, sometimes people say, hey, I won an award. Well, that's nice. Hey, I finished this program. That's good. I did this. I built that. And I don't want to rain on anybody's parade. But the greatest joy, it tells us that there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Now, say that if you got a new car, house, boat, over one sinner that repents.
Yes.
May the Lord be pleased to use the prayers, the concern, the teaching, the preaching. May God speak to you. That's really the reason we have a little time at the end, just to say, if the Lord has spoken to you, we sure love to hear it.